Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Jaya Rana Madhava Vrindavan Hari. Jaya Rana Madhava Vrindavan Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhagavata Tathagata Shishima Is the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhagavata Tathagata Shishima Is the Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Ki Sunday Mahal Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nanti Kati Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namachar Srila Hardasya Kir Ki Jai. Parim Sikaha Shri Krishna Taitanya. Prabhupada, Sri Advaita, Gadadha, Sri Bhasri, Goa Bhakti, Vindhiki, Jai, Sri Sri Radha, Krishna, Gopa, Gopi, Na, Shamaka, Naradaka, Hidhika, Vedan, Ki Jai, Jamunamai, Ki Gangamai, Ki Talasi Devi, Bhakti Devi, Ki Jai, Samaveta, Bhakti, Vindhiki, Jai, Sri Vindhavan, Dhamma, Tumradam, Ki Jai, Navidutamai, Pradam, Ki Jai, Jagannath, Pradam, Ki Jai, Nuraman, Ritti, Dham, Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution, Ki Jai, Brihat Madanga, Ki Jai, Sri Harinam, Sankatan, Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder, Acharya, BBT Founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shamasinda, Ki Jai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornita, Ki Jai, Sri Lakshmi Nishringa Pala, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. Glories are glories to Sri Sri Gauranga Ranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Canto 3, what's Canto 3? The Status Quo, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service. Text 16 appears on the screen. Aham mama bhimanotai. Aham mama bhimanotai. Kamalo Vadi Birmala. Kamalo Vadi Birmala. Vitam Yadamana Sutam. Vitam Yadamana Sutam. Adukam asukam samam. Adukam asukam samam. Aham mama bhimanotai. Kamalo vadi bhimala. Vitam yadamana sutam. Asukam samam. I'm sorry. Adukam asukam samam. One more time. Aham mama vimanottaya. Ama lovari bimala. Vitam yadamana sutam. Adyukam asukam samam. If you be so kind. Anyone else? I can't tell anyway. Okay. All right. Word for words. Responsively, if you don't mind.
I.
Mama.
Mama.
Mine. Abhimana. From the misconception. And I. Produced. Karma. Lust. Loba. Greed. Adibe. And so on. Malai. From the impurities. I'll look at that word for a second. It does relate to Latin word. You know, there's a lot of linguistic connection here. Malai. Mala, as in malfunction, mala, malady, right? So that's an impurity when you have a difficulty with your machinery, personal or impersonal. That's bad business, mala. It's bad. Okay, vitam, freed, yada, when, mana, the mind. Sudham, pure. Adukam, without distress. Asukam, without happiness. Samam, equipoised. Interesting. All right. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as, quote, I, end quote, and bodily possessions as, quote, mine, end quote, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Okay, we'll do this responsibly also. It's nice. Please speak up. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification as the of the body as I and bodily possessions as mine. Thank you. One's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kama and Loba are the symptoms of material existence. Everyone always desires to possess something. It is said here that desire and greed are the products of false identification of oneself with the body. When one becomes free from this contamination, then his mind and consciousness also become freed and attain their original state. Mind, consciousness, and living entity exist. Whenever we speak of the living entity, this includes the mind and consciousness. The difference between conditioned life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and the consciousness. When they are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. In the beginning, Lord Kapila has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained here. One has to purify his mind and consciousness. This can be done by the Bhakti Yoga system, as explained in the Narada Pancharatra. One's mind and senses should be purified. Tat para trena nirmalam. One's senses must be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. That is the process. The mind must have some engagement. One cannot make the mind vacant. Of course, there are some foolish attempts to try to make the mind vacant or void, but that is not possible. The only process that will purify the mind is to engage it in Krishna. The mind must be engaged. If we engage our mind in Krishna, naturally the consciousness becomes fully purified. And there is no chance of entrance of material desire and greed. Really, like a barricade. Om again, I'm going to run the shark and I'm going to suck a lot of chucks. I'm going to have to smash you good of anima. She's a tandem in her bistam, stop it, I'm going to be telling. So I'm going to come. I'm Vendéhem Sri Guru, Sri Dharmakalam, Sri Vaishnavamsa, Sri Rupam Savajatam, Sahagana Vagatam, Tamsa Jivam, Sadvetam Savajatam, Sri Vaishnavam, Sri Vaishnavam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Vagatam, Sri Vaishnavam, Sri Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindha, Dinabandha Jagapate, Gopisha Gopaka Kanta, Radha Kanta Namasate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radha Vindarishri, Vishabhana Siddhi Devi Pranamani Yapadipaye, Vancha Kalpa Tribhischa, Kripa Sindha Vibhacha, Patita Napa Vanavya, Vishnava Vyanama Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhupada Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vyasa to go back to Vinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, I will immediately confess that I am plagued by attachment. I have an attachment. I want to please you in this presentation. And because of that, then I'm feeling options. Potential happiness, a lot of distress, right? It's possible, right? If you are pleased, well, technically, that's Krishna's business. And if I'm able to say something of any merit, technically, that's Krishna's business. But if you would kindly bless me so that some valid points will be raised and that you will have some kind of realization that benefits your spiritual life, throw them in my direction immediately. That's a service, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me explain that this morning, or yesterday morning, in fact, I was requested to substitute for the class, and so I've done as little as possible to be as ill-prepared as possible so that there will be a level of spontaneity, and there will also be a level of intensity, right? Yeah, it's important, I think. Srila Prabhupada, and whenever you hear when Srila Prabhupada said, the Vedas say, Vedas, this one specifically, encourages voluntary, spontaneous service. Now you see the need, as Prabhupada said repeatedly, do the needful, right? You see the trash, pick it up. Something out of place, put it in place. It's pretty easy, pretty easy. Krishna's alerting you, giving you the eyes to see, the capacity to bend, the ability to pick something up, right? It's all there, it's all there. Spontaneous and voluntary. I'm so dragged out, you know, I ate so much last night. So there's always an excuse. But Krishna's not really interested in excuses. He's living interested. The main part of his menu, if you look at the menu that he suggests, the main part of his menu is love and devotion. And with that, everything is easy. It's amazing. If you see or witness or have the privilege of witnessing or being part of a loving relationship, you see people with their children, they do anything for their child. And the child, and this is an essential aspect of early childhood development, if the parent, grandparent, friends, uncles, if they declare to the child what they would like to see for the child, what they like to see, the behavior that they would like to observe, the child will hear it, even though they're always distracted and pretend to not be paying attention. They really pay attention to everything. They are absorbing everything. And if this declaration is made, they strive to please you. So this book is parental. The Supreme Father is given, and here, Kapiladeva, there's no way around it. Kapiladeva and Krishna, non-different. Same instruction. He's giving and a very clear job description of what will please him, what he would like to see of you, and If you realize that, it means you actualize it in your existence. Life is perfect. Such a simple formula. And when we resist because of attachment, then nothing but trouble. It's your call. That's the minute independence. This side of the page or this side of the page. That's how thin. This is your minute independence. Attachment, illusion, or Krishna. Your choice. It's just a choice. You always have a choice. All right, now we get into the scholastic aspect of the class for a few minutes. Not yet. A couple of verses, and this is where I love this verse. It's chapter 5, text 11, and it reads, well, I'll just read the English. The yogis, abandoning attachment. That's not it. So that's the next one I'm going to read. Not yet. That's 434, if you want to look it up when you get home. Okay. This one is just the verse. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. Very simple. It's just what Kapila Devi said, right? And if you look at this verse, which is very, the reason why Srila Prabhupada gave us this extraordinary piece of study is that you're meant to look at every single word on the page or the pages. So this verse reads, the yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification, in the word for word. The word that stands for yogi, it says yogina, yogina. The translation is Krishna conscious persons. Look it up when you get home. It's very interesting. In the word for words, Krishna conscious persons means you're a yogi. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Don't have to go to any class. You just come to this class. You know? You hold your bead bag, walk in circles in the morning, right? Try to find some peace in the room. I wanted to mention, I mean, I noticed, I listened to all of the glorifications of Prabhupada the other day online because I'm deaf. So it was much easier to hear every word and sit in my car with the breeze going through instead of in the hot room. But it's according to time, place, and circumstance and modern technology, you have these options. It's wonderful. So some of the individuals that spoke used the privilege of glorifying Prabhupada in a semi-political position, like trying to rouse interest in Krishna lunch or focus on child protection, because Prabhupada's interest is widespread. Wild, big, strong foundation of concern with everyone. Concern with everyone. Purification. How? Right? So I wanted to mention how wonderful it was this morning to not have to see that the temple room was dark because of these beautiful decorations that you could see the windows to the spiritual world and not be distracted by the screen. You know, it's a modern aspect of education. It's a phenomenon that people are so distracted by their screens, tablet, computer. Before I saw it, when it was only a computer, now it's in their hand. All their family albums in their hand. There's an online encyclopedia, right? You can, a home entertainment center, it's all right there. So to come to a building where there are windows to the spiritual world on the wall and sit to try to meditate while people are circling around and the anyway, in the dark, with a movie showing, it doesn't, I mean, maybe I'm an impersonalist. I mean, I was raised in Japan, so meditation means sitting down, looking at the wall, and just focus on the mantra or breathing or whatever it is. We ought not be distracted. You think about it, you know, the 11th offense to the holy name. You know the 11th offense to the name? I've rephrased it, right? It is principally, primarily, essentially, and especially offensive to be inattentive while chanting. Principally, primarily, essentially, and especially inattentive while chanting. So if you're trying to keep your balance when you're walking, someone's talking, and there's a movie showing, and you're in the dark. I mean, I was born in the darkness of ignorance. Remember that one? Yeah. Anyway, please forgive me, but delighted by the fact that the room was not dark. And now, it's only been 6 years that it's been in the dark. During the pandemic, there was no reason for the lights to be on. There was only pujaris on the altar. And during that time, no one was allowed in the temple room. And so the lights were off. And it's become a habit. Not a good one. And I heard through the grapevine that Jayadvaita Maharaj had said that it's not a good idea to be in the dark with a movie showing. So let me, yeah, okay, you can complain later. In person, you can banish me if you want. Around the same time, another incident happened, but I'll leave you with that. Now we're looking at the verse on the screen, right? And this was such a stunning purport that I'm going to read the whole thing, and it's long. But you can read along. And where is it? It's coming up soon. Okay, this is chapter 4, text 35. Jatvana punam moham evam yasase pandava enavutaya sheshane drakshas atmana tomaye. There it is. Hold on. Book so I can read it better. Okay, here we go. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. That's not the important part. As Krishna is explaining what you will see eventually, but this purport explains or reiterates the points that were raised in this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class, and if there are four definitions of what Maya is. So see if you can count them, see if you can find them. Four, specifically. The result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or one who knows things as they are, is learning that all living beings are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya. Ma, not ya, this, not this. Some think that we have nothing to do with Krishna, that Krishna is only a great historical personality, and that the absolute is the impersonal Brahman. Factually, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, this impersonal Brahman is the personal effulgence of Krishna. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of everything. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Even the millions of incarnations that are only his different expansions, even the millions of incarnations are only his different expansions. Similarly, the living entities are also expansions of Krishna. The Mayavadi philosophers wrongly think that Krishna loses his own spiritual existence in his many expansions. This thought is material in nature. Here, I brought a visual aid for you. That thought is material in nature. Here it is. It's material. Okay. Where was the material in nature? We have experienced in the material world that a thing when fragmentally distributed, loses its original identity. Where is it? Okay. Here we go. Math. Time for math class. It loses its original identity. But the Mayavadi philosophers fail to understand that absolute means that 1 plus 1 is equal to 1, and that 1 minus 1 is also equal to 1. This is the case in the absolute world. For want of sufficient knowledge in the absolute science, we are now covered by illusion, and therefore we think that we are separate from Krishna. Although we are separated parts of Krishna, we are nevertheless not different from him. The bodily difference of the living entities is maya, or not actually fact. We are all meant to satisfy Krishna. By maya alone, Arjuna thought that the temporary bodily relationship with his kinsman was more important than his eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted towards this end, that the living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna in his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called maya. Let me repeat this. The whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is targeted towards this end, that a living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna, and his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called maya. The living entities, as separated parts and parcels of the Supreme, have a purpose to fulfill. Having forgotten that purpose, since time immemorial, they are situated in different bodies as men, animals, demigods, etc. Such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. But when one is engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from this illusion. One can acquire such pure knowledge only from the bona fide spiritual master, and thereby avoid the delusion that the living entity is equal to Krishna. Perfect knowledge is that the Supreme Soul, Krishna, is the supreme shelter of all living entities. And giving up such shelter, the living entities are deluded by the material energy. I might stop here. Some people don't really know the difference. I'll explain. There's illusion. That's the background. And there's delusion. That's your business. So that's like imported and domestic or something like that. So you have the background is illusion. And you identify with that, identification with the illusion and your ownership of it. That's why I and mine, this mine, that's delusion. It's not yours, but you think it's yours. So delusion. Illusion, delusion. Imagining themselves to have separate identity. Thus, the different standards of material identity, they become forgetful of Krishna. When, however, such deluded living entities become situated in Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that they are on the path of liberation, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text 6. Mukti hitvanyata rupam sarupam yavatishtati. Liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Another definition of Krishna consciousness. So bhakti yoga, the system by which one purifies oneself through the yoga system of identifying oneself as a Krishna conscious person and then exercising that by being Krishna conscious. And how do you do that? Okay, well, here's a little ISKCON history for you. Once upon a time, the Yuga Dharma was promoted very vigorously, and all the devotees were so ecstatic. They were so ecstatic. They were so enthusiastic that they went out to give the holy name to everyone all the time, hours and hours and hours and hours a day, into the night, wherever there was a crowd of people, they would do that. And at that time, there were only a few books and some flyers and lots of enthusiasm. And they were keeping not very regulated lifestyle because they were vigorously giving Krishna consciousness to others, recruiting people. Srila Prabhupada noticed it, especially if you went to Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is, you know, full of nocturnal people. Nocturnal, I mean, they live at night. They live at night, right? Chapter 2, text 69. Those who are, you know, what is night for the introspective surge is day for the, you know this verse, 269, if you want to read it, 269. So, Srila Prabhupada tried to reason with the devotees and gave them engagement by installing deities and telling them, you should come to the morning program and go to Mangalartik. Of course, there's a famous paper that is in almost every temple, you know, and it says, if you live in the temple, then you should attend the, four regulatory principles and attend the program. Handwritten notice, right? But at that point in Los Angeles, and everywhere else mostly, people were so enthused to give Krishna consciousness to others that in order to temper the, find balance, then deity worship was established. And you may have noticed that now there's less of one thing that was there before and a lot more of something else that really wasn't there before. I mean, people were worshiping this book on their, you know, that was the deity. If you still go to some temples, Tawaka used to always have Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam on the altar receiving the artiks, right? They're worshipable. These are Krishna. These are Krishna. So, imbalance should rebalance in a way. But the reason behind it is that regulation, purification, and elevation of consciousness is the goal of Krishna consciousness. And the best engagement is giving Krishna consciousness to others because you have to express your conviction. It can't be just what you heard this morning, and that's nice if you have conviction of what you heard this morning. You give it to others openly, right? And that your conviction, your faith, is what attracts people. Not the statistical information, the data that you're presenting. It's your heart, your enthusiasm. That's what compels people. Oh, I would like to be like this, right? That is said sociologically. That's not what you say in a conversation, but how the person feels about what you said, how they are left. So you jam Krishna consciousness down someone's throat, and that's enough. They're not going to come back. And if you spoon feed them, you know, I've noticed, I'm speaking very fast, but I was trying to read slowly because I'm quite adherent to the time. When Srila Prabhupada speaks, he's spoon-feeding you this philosophy very, very slow, one point at a time, very careful. Right? And we, as Americans, we're guilty. We've taught people who speak English as a second language to speak at this pace. And then I can't even hear them anymore. With an accent, oh my God, what to do? So, here, I'm going to reread the Srimad Bhagavatam verse When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and the bodily possessions as mine, one mind becomes purified. In that state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. So divine life divine is a synonym for transcendental, above material. So the happiness and distress, they come and go. You don't make an effort, believe me. Most people want to make an effort to be happy and not make an effort to be distressed, but no matter how hard you hold back the distress, it comes. And no matter how disinclined you are to happiness, it's going to come, right? You have quota, it's coming. I just thought, I know, I don't really like reading in classes. I'd rather speak my heart to you. I really would. But there's lots of references that connect to this. And the last paragraph of the last verse in chapter 15, that's 15:20, for those of you who are home, look with the book in your lap, you can look there. It says here, I'll read it for you. While one is performing devotional service in the Association of Pure Devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount, is weakness of heart. And now Prabhupada defines what this weakness of heart is. And you may see that it parallels today's verse. It's quite easy to see. Actually, it's totally transparent. You can see right through it. Okay? The first fall down, in case you're interested in when people fall down, this, I was realizing the other day when someone fell during Mangalaiti at John Mastami, and then the emergency response people came in, I thought to myself, well, what is the philosophy behind this? The philosophy is that everyone who comes in this room is falling down. Here's an example. Oh, there. He was about to fall down. Yeah. Pay obeisances, it's a fall down, right? In connection with Krishna. And otherwise, fall down in the end. You're going to fall down. And Prabhupada uses the example of a small child attempting to walk, fall, but never cease the attempt to keep walking, right? Right? You must. This is the nature is to walk. So the nature is to be connected to Krishna, and when we fall down and offer obeisances to Krishna, then perfect. Okay, we continue. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, he becomes attached to matter and the possession of that matter. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of heart. Okay. Now, I'm going to apologize. I like to apologize. It's good for me. I want to apologize for the last time I gave class. Some people didn't like it at all, and I want to apologize for not misleading you. Their point was made that I didn't really address the topic in this. That at that time, that verse was prior to Kapila Dev's appearance. Lord Brahma was seeing the thin waists of his granddaughters, and he spoke, not to the granddaughters, praises to the father, who is Kadama Muni, the husband of Devahuti. Okay. The essential point is that Brahma's service is to fill up the universe with good progeny, and that his granddaughters were equipped in the right form to instigate propagation. That was the essential point, which I thought was transparent in the verse, but some people had issue. Okay, so please forgive me. And now, here, another person criticized that I pawned off questions and answers. We're opening now for a discussion, and you can do that as long as you want, as far as I'm concerned. And if you have any criticism or comment or question, then if you're going to ask a question, I beg you to approach the bench so that I can read your lips, because I am handicapped. I will understand, I can hear what you're saying, but I won't understand unless you're within my vision. Okay? So thank you very much for your attention and your blessings and your realizations and your criticisms and your comments and your questions. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now it's your turn. Bring the mic and come closer, and that, if it's a question. If it's a declaration of your own, you can say it from there. Everyone else will hear it.
Hare Krishna. I will say one thing in defense of the pictures on the wall window on our screen. I was chanting this morning with a lot of nice devotees. We were chanting very nicely in the room together. It was quite a nice mood. And I opened my eyes and I seen Ram and I don't know who, Lakshman or something. They were hugging.
Yeah.
And I was very like, that's what I wanted from Krishna, a hug, just like that. And it put me in a mood of surrender to Krishna and wishing that I could be hugged like that and knowing that I'm lacking in my purity, but desiring that. So I'm just speaking in defense of picture on the wall because it gave me some bliss, some kind of spiritual understanding that made my japa even nicer.
And I agree with you. It's not the slideshow. It's the movies that are shaking the camera. And that the slideshow, I mean, right now you can see the screen beautifully. It's full light, right? You can see the screen fine. Sitting in a dark room is my main objection, and not being able to see these paintings.
But also one other thing is, like, when I chant japa, I find that the key is, of course, to concentrate on the holy name. And I find many times that I like to close my eyes, and so no matter what's going around me, I can go deep inside my mind and think of Krishna. And also sometimes I find that I get tired, so I walk around so that I don't fall asleep. So both processes are there. And also I'm encouraged by Srila Prabhupada because I see many pictures of Prabhupada walking and chanting.
Oh yeah.
So then I'm encouraged that what I'm doing is authorized by our acharya. So either or, whatever works for you. Some people like to sit the whole time, some people like to walk the whole time.
I walk around, but I always walk around the building. Because in the room, I mean, you're just another one of the distractions in a dark room. But, you know, it's case by case. Space by case.
This is about the mind, controlling the mind.
Yeah.
So the process of yoga is to control the mind. So if we're being distracted by things, that means we're not controlling our mind. Anyway, chant Hare Krishna, be happy.
This is wonderful because it brought up a point that in this verse, in the purport, it explains that mind must be controlled. And then by giving the mind, the body engagement, then the mind follows. Usually, you know, it's the intelligence is higher than the mind, and the mind is higher than the body. But if the senses are engaged in some tactile activity, like walking, then the mind will follow also. It helps. It definitely helps. It's not to be denied. That's where, you know, like, I'm not promoting Zen Buddhism. I'm not. I love Christian consciousness. I think it's really cool as a person. I always felt that way. I was brought up in Catholicism, so God is a person, right? And he loves you, and he loves you. He's not imposing a guilt trip on you. He's very liberal and very loving, right? And the devotees, in fact, if you look at the parampara and our successful practitioners, personal and loving and caring, right? And the ones that don't have time because they have to check their email or they're running off, you know, whatever they're in. It's a different leg of aspect. What the parampara is doing is emulating Krishna's behavior. If you study, and Srila Prabhupada had stated, and Toshan Krishna told me in a class when the building was, you know, a little single-wide trailer, that Srila Prabhupada had assigned the devotees to read the Nectar of Devotion 10 times. And if you summarize, if you look what's going on in there is that Krishna's exemplifying love and affection and respect and has so much time for everyone. Like, okay, you can say 3 days, whatever, but Krishna would stay for months at a time with the Pandavas. And then all exchange. He was fighting with a monkey, a bear, for 28 days, and then he's just like, that's okay, you can be as angry with me as you want, you know? Just, I enjoy this, it's fun, right? There's so many little tiny stories in there that show that Krishna, being the top of the parampara, is exemplifying respect, care, affection, humor, lots of humor, all right? Please forgive me. Anything else?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, yeah?
My question is, in all gods, right, specifically Krishna.
Speak up.
No, specifically Krishna, all gods are born in India, right? So my question is, why the gods are not in other countries? Why it should not be in other countries?
Okay, not being attentive. Well, that's why we're here. We weren't attentive. It's Kali Yuga, it's a little running late now. Yeah, we've not been attentive. So it's kind of an ingrained habit. Try. Just try. I heard every sound you made, Prabhu. I hope everyone else appreciated the statement.
The answer is the Lord's already here. Yes.
Huh?
Did you understand his answer? He's on a very bad law. He's already here.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
So you were talking about early days in Los Angeles. And a senior devotee told me about when they used to go out on Sankirtan, so 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, even though we weren't able to get up from Mangal Arati, so much advancement was made because we would come. And then he said that for sustained Krishna consciousness and advancement in Krishna consciousness, regularity is a must. So both are there. You may do some extreme things, but that for sustained Krishna consciousness, for continued advancement, you have to have regularity.
Yeah, it's a balance. I noticed last year when I was requested to go to Puerto Rico, how isolated I felt. I was just doing Pujari service. I mean, 108 days of waking the deities and doing Mangalarti alone, basically. And how difficult it was. And they have more deities than here. The same set, but more, even more. So things are, but the average Harinam in that stage, historically, was like 5-6 hours. So you become purified by chanting and giving it to others. And the first book distribution took place during that time. So, you know, like I'm saying, it's a balance. The same thing with distraction and attraction. You have to find the balance, right? There's no hard and fast rules for chanting the name. And your mind will wander, but you have to drag it back, right? Sit straight and try to hear, right? I'm a failure, I can't hear anything. Anyway, if you have any other comments? I'd be glad to speak with you one-on-one. Right? And if you want to criticize me online, I'll give you my number. Text me if you like. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Glories to the assembled devotees.